Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This is a very important day in Scripture when this happened. And if you're visiting this morning, I just want you to know a little bit about the church you find yourself in this morning. We got a long ways to go as a church. But you know what? The Lord has been doing something here in our lives, and He's moving us along. So I want you to know you're not in a perfect church, and you're certainly not in a church that has a perfect pastor. Okay? But we are real people who have discovered and are continuing to grow and discover more of the reality of God's grace, mercy, His power, His conviction, and that God is just not out there somewhere. And we understand something here, that we don't want to get together and just play church. We don't want to go through the motions. That's empty. It's a form of godliness that lacks power. That's what the Scripture says. We want to be tapped into the reality of Christ, that He is a part of our life way beyond the services when we get together. And that we have been touched by grace in a way that allows us to, in our minds, remember our past, but to not live under its influence, that we have gone through a salvation and a change in our life. And we are not perfect, but we're moving along. And that is what we want to remember. It's the way we want to continue to walk. And that takes a miracle and a power of God, a relevant power of God in the life of a person. And that's why our arms are open wide, why we want to be a friendly church and say, you know what, whether you're here for one Sunday or you come back or you make this your home at some point as a church family, our arms are open to you, and we just want you to be inspired by the reality of God's grace and kindness in your life and His power. And we believe in the move of His Holy Spirit in the life of a person, that He is involved in our life. His Spirit is at work. It is what Jesus said. He said, I must go. He told His disciples, I must go to the Father in heaven so that I can send the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, to be at work in the lives of humanity. That we can be changed and empowered by God so that we can live different. That we can be saved from our sin, but then be fruitful in ministry in His kingdom. It's a wonderful story about Jeffrey this morning. Saved and comes to a place where I'm making good on this salvation. God's called me and empowering me to do something more, to be evident in my life, to reproduce what God has done in me in someone else and allow His Spirit to work that way. And so in Acts chapter 1, this was after Jesus was crucified. He rose again from the dead. He was seen among people. And He is giving some closing remarks. And closing remarks, you've heard me say this before, closing remarks are very important. Not closing remarks that the person you're going to see them again, but when you know that you are not going to see them again for a long time. The closing remarks. It would be kind of like a picture in the human terms that you are there around a hospital bed, and I don't know, we'll just use a dad for example. The father is in bed. He is going to pass away from this earth, and before he does, he wants to express his love, his counsel, and the most important things in life to his family. That's kind of the setting. Jesus isn't dying, but He is ascending to the Father in heaven, and He's about to send the Holy Spirit, and so He's giving closing remarks and teachings to His disciples so that they will remain in faith and do the ministry of Jesus Christ that they were a part of when Jesus was there on earth. And so He gives closing remarks, and among them, He says this in Acts chapter 1. And while staying with them, He ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Holy Father. What is the promise of the Father in heaven? What did Jesus say the promise of the Father in heaven was? The Holy Spirit. Come on, we should know this. We're acquainted with the Scripture. The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus taught. And so He says to them, wait here For the promise of my Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John the Baptist, we call him, he baptized with water. His was a baptism of repentance, right? You heard Jeffrey refer to that this morning. Repentance is a place where we realize God loves us, he's for us, and we want forgiveness of our sin, and we don't want to continue to live the same. We want to live differently, and so it's a repentance. I'm sorry, and I'm not going to live like that anymore, and I need your help, and I'm putting faith in you, Jesus. And so to illustrate that, one of the things that was done was water baptism. The old life passes away, and behold, a new life begins in Christ. That's water baptism. That was the baptism of John, a call to repentance, a call for forgiveness and a life change. And so he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. That's what he tells them. So when they had come together, the disciples asked them, Lord, at that time, will you restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed. So, little note here, we can be aware that kingdoms are going to be restored. We can be aware that things that God is going to do based upon his word. But you know what? Quit trying to figure out the dates of everything. You're getting sidetracked. It's fun to figure out, fun to think about, but don't be obsessed with it. It will get you off center. It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power. Jesus transitions. Here's your answer. You're asking for, at this time, times and seasons. He says, don't be caught up in that. My Father has all this figured out in his authority, but, and he transitions, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and it will empower you to be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the other ends of the earth, including Mexico. The unknown places, Jeffrey, of your life that you're going to get acquainted with. Holy Spirit's going to empower you for those places. And when he had said these things, they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him up out of their sight. Now, Acts chapter 2. They were supposed to wait in Jerusalem, pray together, visit together, fellowship together, study the teaching of God together, and they would continue to do this. But knowing that there was a time set where the Holy Spirit was going to be outpoured, that they were going to receive a power of the Holy Spirit of Christ. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can dwell in you. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote by the will of God in the book of Romans. Say it with me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead can dwell in me. Now smile at the person next to you and say, you better believe it. You better believe it. Acts chapter 2, now by God's authority, the day came. They didn't know it was going to happen because it happened suddenly. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and verse 2 it says, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared on them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit filled them. What was the evidence that they were filled with the Holy Spirit? There had to be a sign. There had to be proof that the Holy Spirit, it wasn't just this visitation of God where, you know, wind and we saw flames, a fire rest on each one. There had to be some evidence that they were now filled with this Holy Spirit that Jesus said they were going to be filled with and receive power. What was the evidence? They spoke in tongues. That's what the Bible says. I didn't make it up. It's not my idea. This is God's book. This is a testimony of what happened to prove that what Jesus said was true. There they are, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the power or the utterance or the ability to do so. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. I'm going to paraphrase this rather than read all this to you, but it's right there and you can read it on your own. Basically, there are people in Jerusalem where this happened who are visiting, and they are from another area. They speak multiple languages, but they have a native language from where they're from. And when this happened, the disciples, the apostles, those who were there, who were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in another language that they themselves did not know. It was called speaking in tongues, another language. They begin to do this, and those who were visiting heard them. And some of them identified that these people were speaking their native language where they were from. And they understood what they were saying. And they heard them, and they said, they are declaring the marvelous works and the glory of the living God. How can this be? What does it mean? Now, there were others in the crowd who didn't understand the languages that they were speaking, like they themselves who were doing it. And so they just said, it sounds like gibberish to me. They must have had too much wine, and they are drunk. And those who were visiting from outside the area said, no, they're not. They're declaring the wonders of God. They are speaking my language. And another one would say, that one's speaking my language. And another one said, that is the language from where I come from. How can they know that language? Well, they didn't. They just began to declare the glory of the Lord. They began to speak in other tongues, the Holy Spirit. Now get this, if the Holy Spirit used them in speaking another language they did not understand, they are speaking a language that God gives. And isn't it interesting that they were speaking a perfect language of another people group, and when they spoke it perfectly, they were also speaking the will of God perfectly, and it all had to do with the glory of the Lord. I want you to know that though speaking in tongues may sound strange to you, that it is birthed and given of the Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer. The Spirit gives the ability. And when we speak in tongues, when we have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, this evidence that the Spirit has been outpoured in someone's life, this physical evidence, the initial evidence was that they spoke in tongues. It is not limited to that, but that is the initial physical evidence of what took place and what takes place in the life of a believer. But it doesn't end with tongues. It's about the power to do ministry and to have an effective, perfect prayer life, to be able to speak the perfect will of God through the prayer of tongues. You know, in an English language, sometimes we just, you know, we run short on words, right? We have a natural knowledge of certain things, but then we come to a point where I want to pray for this person, but I don't know all that they're dealing with. And frankly, all that they're dealing with, they may not want to tell me. And so how can I pray effectively? And when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence or with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you can pray for them in that language. And because the Spirit is the one who is giving the message and the praying, you get to pray a perfect prayer. I love Pentecost. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost. This is the historical account. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit breathed on people to write these things. But I also want you to know I'm going to appeal also to your flesh a little bit here. Not in the sense that it's wrong, but I want you to know that the person who wrote the book of Acts was Luke. And do you know what Luke was? He was a physician. He was a doctor. He was not dumb. He was not stupid. He had a gifted level of intelligence. And yet, the Spirit breathed on him, and he was open to the Spirit and didn't allow his mind to get in the way. He wanted his mind to work in redeemed fashion and under the direction of the Holy Spirit, be able to write and record things as they really happened. You know, doctors do a lot of writing or dictation. You know that, right? Some of them love to see patients and deal with them, but then they got to go through all this paperwork, fill out everything that was said and everything that's reported, and they have to give themselves memos and notes. And I want you to know that doctors made observations. He wrote things inspired by the Spirit of what happened, significant things. He told the story. It's interesting that this day of Pentecost was actually prophesied about in the Old Testament. Before Jesus was born of a virgin. In Joel, the prophet Joel, chapter 2, I'm going to read to you a couple of verses, starting with verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards. Now, Joel is in the Spirit. The same Holy Spirit is revealing to him the mind of God and what to say. And then it's recorded. And this is what the prophet Joel prophesied. And it shall come to pass that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and the female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit. The day of Pentecost came, and he poured out his Spirit. His Spirit has been outpoured, and now you and I, we don't really have to pray for another outpouring. We use those words to express, I want to be poured out on. We want an outpouring of His Spirit here, but His Spirit has been outpoured. Now it comes to the point of decision for you and I. Do I believe and do I desire to walk in this outpouring? Do I want I want to have a personal outpouring. See, this is the point where if you're visiting this morning, I said we don't want to pretend and, you know, just go through church motions and, you know, have this idea that the church is just simply a nonprofit business. You like that? Yeah. That was an inside joke a little bit, because my son, when he received that reward as at high school for being the business student of the year at the high school, they just said, well, and Brock is going into the ministry, and so we all know that the church is just a nonprofit business. I about flew out on my bleacher. We're not going through the motions here. We want to dig into His Word, and we want His Spirit to dig and meddle in us. And this is what the Scripture says. And so we're gonna push a little bit. We're going to press a little bit. And you're going to be uncomfortable maybe a little bit. I want you to know that our flesh, my flesh still gets uncomfortable with certain things. I like when Jeffrey and so many others said, you know, that was out of my comfort zone. So I tried to talk God out of it. That was a great phrase, Jeffrey. I hope you include that story in your book when you write one. This is what happened. Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at quite a few scriptures this morning, but Romans chapter 8, and I'm not going to always allow you time to probably turn there because I want to get there and keep moving, but Romans chapter 8 in verse 26. Paul writes, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Hallelujah. We all have weakness. It's our flesh. Sometimes we look at it as our strength, but when it's operated on our own will, in our own purpose, and self-reliance, it is a weakness. Therefore, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. Remember I mentioned this a moment ago? We don't always know how to pray or what to pray. But it says here the Spirit helps us in this weakness, in this particular weakness too. But the Spirit Himself intercedes or prays as we ought. Prays with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit prays for the saints according to the will of God. Listen, when you pray in tongues, those of you who are baptized with the Holy Spirit, when you pray in tongues, you are praying the perfect will of God, because the Spirit of God knows the mind of God. That is why you and I can know what God thinks about something. When we have fellowship with Him and His Spirit reveals to us He's not going to lie to us. When the Spirit of God reveals something to us, we know that it is the will of God because the Spirit of God reveals to us the mind of God. How could Jeffrey know? He said, when I heard this missionary tell about this, I knew right there that's what I was supposed to do because the Spirit of God revealed to Jeffrey, hey, Jeffrey, this is it. Pay attention. This is what I want you to do. This is one of the reasons you're here, and this is where you're going. Now, he can try to talk God out of it and change his mind, but the Spirit prevailed. The Spirit reveals to us the mind of God. You can know the mind of God if you fellowship with him, have faith in Christ, and allow yourself to hear the voice of the Spirit. And we learn his voice by being with him more. It's a revelation that comes to us in just a moment, like, this is right. This is wrong. This is the way. Or, you choose. I'm with you either way. We have that assurance. The Spirit of God reveals the mind of God. Acts 19. Now the Apostle Paul, this was after the day of Pentecost now. Acts chapter 19. And it happened that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. So there's Apostle Paul. He's traveling from place to place, planting churches, doing apostolic work, doing a missionary journey, a ministry journey. And all of a sudden he comes across some disciples of Jesus. In other words, people who were saved, believed upon Christ. It wasn't the disciples that were at the day of Pentecost or the ones that were walking with Jesus. These were new converts. These, at some point, they were converted and put faith in Christ. And he says they were disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit baptism when you believed? And they said, no. We haven't even heard of this Holy Spirit or Holy Spirit baptism. Maybe that's you here this morning. You're saying, I've never really heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, you're hearing about it now. It's what's in the Scripture. And you don't have to feel guilty or bad about it. Just be glad that it's happening now. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed, the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And they said, no, we have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what baptism then were you baptized? Now Paul starts going, you haven't heard of the Holy Spirit? You haven't heard of Holy Spirit baptism? Well, what were you baptized in? Now he's going, wait a minute. Are you guys disciples of Jesus? You know, he's just met them. He's saying, well, what baptism did you receive? And they said, we received the baptism of John. So at this point, Paul's going, hallelujah. Okay, they do believe in Jesus. They went through the baptism, the water baptism, that says, I want forgiveness of sin. I want my old life to pass away, and I want Christ to live in me, and I want to live a new life. I want to be born again. So Paul's released. He says, oh, okay, John's baptism. Good, a baptism of repentance. I'm throwing a little paraphrasing in here in our vernacular, but that is what's happening here in the Scripture. Oh, and Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in other tongues and prophesy. So now what baptism did they receive? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Paul just says, oh, the baptism of Jesus, or baptism of John, which is you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Great. Now I'm going to pray for you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he goes by and lays hands on them. And as he does, they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they begin to speak in tongues and prophesy. First Corinthians chapter 2. We're We're going from scripture to scripture, in Old Testament, New Testament, because I want you to know that God has a lot to say about this. Listen, Jesus said it in Mark chapter 16, verse 17. He said, one of the signs of a believer is that they will speak in a new tongue. They will be speaking in tongues. It's one of the signs. You know what puzzles me? I got to tell you this. This is what puzzles me. When it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because there is this initial physical evidence that takes place. A lot of other things that Jesus said and that we believe, we can believe, but it doesn't have an implication of some type of physical sign. And so we sometimes slip into, I can believe the gospel and believe God for things because it's a wonderful idea and it doesn't really have to manifest in my life. And so we just kind of go along. But this baptism of the Spirit requires the proof that there is some physical evidence. And that's where we start to trip and stumble over this a little bit. This is what troubles me, is that there are believers, Christians, it doesn't matter what fellowship or what denomination, that we believe God can forgive us of sins, that Jesus died on a cross. We believe that he rose from the dead. He was alive. We believe that he ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of God Almighty. We believe he sent his Spirit, and we know his Spirit's at work. We pray and we ask and believe God for a miracle of healing for ourselves or someone else. We believe that there's a devil. We believe that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We believe that in other countries, primitive countries, that there are evil spirits, as if they're not here. We believe in all of this supernatural, and yet when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence, the physical evidence of speaking in tongues, we have a hard time with it. And yet you believe Jesus is coming back on the clouds? But you can't believe that a spirit can be outpoured in someone's life and there's a fruit and a physical evidence of speaking in tongues that now they can pray perfect prayers and they're not hindered, and we have a trouble with that? We can read the scripture and we read the historical accounts of people being caught up in whirlwinds and transporting, and the earth opens up and swallows people and we're all yelling, woohoo, amen, God's word is good. And then it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit that says, hey, there's going to be a physical evidence in your life, something that your mind doesn't understand. And we go, ooh, that was for then. I acknowledge it happened and that was for then. That was for the day of Pentecost and for about those 12 men in Acts chapter 19. But not for me. I don't get it. I struggle with it in my human understanding. That we can believe all these other things. We can declare all these other things. We can believe and adhere to doctrines. And we embrace the fruit of the Spirit. And we acknowledge that the gifts of the Spirit exist as long as they're not operating here and they get weird and I get uncomfortable. It doesn't say that they're gifts of the flesh that make you comfortable. It says they're gifts of the Spirit, and it's the promise of the Father. And it's one of the reasons that Jesus died on the cross. It was to redeem us, but so the Holy Spirit could come. That we could be empowered to do works of ministry and not just be some church with a name or a label and just go about doing nice little things with no power. I mean, who is it you want to be? As a Christian, as a church? If you are perceiving that I am yelling at you, no, I'm just yelling because this bothers me. It has bothered me at times about myself and about other believers. It's not just that we are the fellowship of the Assemblies of God, this church. It's way beyond that. And I want to honor the fellowship. This is about what is in His Word and what is His will and what is His purpose. This is a God who created, who caused things to be. He is the one who by his own authority chose, hey, you know what? I think the fruit of the baptism of the Holy Spirit will be, I don't know, let's go with a new tongue. Yeah, I like it. And that's what he picked. He's justified when he makes a decision. I can ask why, but he doesn't have to answer me. Here's the wonderful thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There's a wonderful truth. Oh, I'm just not sure where I want to start reading. The whole chapter is so good. I'll start with verse 1. When in doubt, start at the beginning. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or appeal to you with human wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and I was a little fearful, and I was trembling. And my speech and my message were not plausible words of wisdom or put together nicely in eloquent fashion to appeal to you. But rather, I came to you in demonstration of God's Spirit and of his power, that your faith might not rest, say this with me, that my faith might not rest on human wisdom. That your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but rather our wisdom would come from experiencing the power of God. That's what he writes. That our wisdom is, we don't rely upon the wisdom of men, rather our wisdom we rely on for the power of God, because God can work outside of human wisdom. He is not limited. That's why he can do miracles. He can work outside natural parameters that you and I live in every day. I didn't make it through. It's a parameter for me. But God can walk through walls. I have parameters. I can only jump so high. He's everywhere. Now, a guy my size, I didn't want to take too much more run at it because the deacons would have garnished my wages to repair that. And a guy my size, I would have went through, but I couldn't walk through walls. I'd have just broke stuff. Here too. The other reason I want to gain more speed is I'd get out of breath, I'm out of shape. First Corinthians chapter 2. We are not done with 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those he loves and who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit teaches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him? Listen. You do not know the person next to you. You do not know their thoughts. Now, you might know them well because you live with them, and you at times can watch them in circumstance and situation and say, I know what they're thinking. But you do not know at any given moment the thoughts of a person. The only person who knows that individual's thoughts is the Spirit within them. It is the same with God. The only one who knows God's thoughts is God's Spirit. But because the Spirit can live in us and dwell in us and baptize us, we can know the mind of God because His Spirit reveals it to us. Look at this is what the Scripture's saying. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received rather the Spirit of God, the Spirit who is from God, that we now can understand the things freely given to us by God. You can know the mind of God by the Spirit's revelation to you of the mind of God. Excuse me. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person, the person who's natural is the person without the Spirit, where we all were at one point. We were a natural person, a person that didn't have the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God. It says here that the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. People can come to me who do not have the Spirit of God, who maybe aren't a Christian, and they come and say, you know, I've been in church, in and out of church, you know, explain this to me. And when it, and there's certain things that I can explain or give answers to. There are certain things that I can give them an answer to that they will not understand, they will not accept, because they are without the Spirit. For us to understand some of these truths, because they are spiritually discerned, is that we have to have the Spirit of God within us. And when that happens, He gives us understanding. Listen, you and I like to understand things before we experience them, right? In other words, before you jump out of this plane, with your chute. We went through training. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to go on. This is what you're going to feel. This is what happens. And then you're going to go. With God, it's not quite like that. It's we experience His Spirit. And when we experience His Spirit, it's instantaneously we begin to understand something. And it's interesting that, you know, in human understanding, they can really only explain and kind of give you indications, and they can train you, but until you actually jump, you're not going to get it. They can tell you what it's like. People can tell you what they feel. People feel different things, but until you jump, then you're going to know. And at that point, it's not like, bring me back up. With God, we experience His Spirit, and we're open to Him, and the moment we do that, understanding comes. It's like trying to... I should finish reading this. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one, for who understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In other words, listen. When the Holy Spirit comes into our life and we experience Him, then we begin to understand because now we have the Spirit who reveals to us the mind of God. Listen, people could describe to me the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that they speak in other tongues before I experience the Spirit, and I would go, I don't know. I mean, that's what I would do. I received when I was young, so I didn't even know the Holy Spirit exists. And I was like one of those 12. I mean, I read about the Holy Spirit in the Scripture as a kid in Sunday school in a mainline church, but, you know, how do you understand tongues? Holy Spirit comes on you and you speak another language? Come on. Well, it's of the Spirit. Remember the God who can open the earth up and swallow people up and go through walls and be in the privacy of our home and hear things and we don't know He's there? You know that God? The God who can raise from the dead when nobody else seems to be able to do that. That God. And our natural minds, you know what? Can't blame us. Don't get it. Don't understand it. I hear the words you're saying. I understand the concept, but I don't get it. But when you experience God's Spirit, at that moment you go, oh, I get it. It's kind of like, I don't know about this baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues thing, laying hands on people, and, you know, I don't know. That seems kind of weird. You know, let's just stick to the main stuff that Jesus died on the cross. Listen, Pentecost is one of the main stuff. It's about the power of God operating in our life to overcome ourself and to overcome supernatural odds by the power of God, which allows other people to experience Him, rather than being caught up in just trying to explain things in a human understanding and argument. Paul says, I didn't come to you like that. I mean, I told you the truth, but I didn't come with eloquent words. I came with the power and demonstration of God's Spirit. And when you saw it happen to somebody, or you experienced a miracle, or you witnessed a miracle, all of a sudden you went, who? I better get right with Jesus. Even then, some didn't. But Paul says, this is about the power of God. Listen, you want to have a great prayer life? You want God to listen to you? You want to pray the will of God? Then you know what? If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I'm going to tell you something. Seek Him out. Ask for it. Let it happen. Let Him bring you into it. You will pray perfect prayers because it's the Spirit of God praying through you. Paul says this, I pray in tongues more than you all. I pray with understanding, which means he prayed in languages he understood. And then he says, but I also prayed with the lack of understanding. In other words, I prayed in tongues, not knowing what I was saying, allowing the Spirit to pray through me. And the Spirit is from God and prays the perfect will and mind of God for someone. Wow. Wow. Guess what? It's beyond you and I. But He can live in us, and we experience it. We just understand. We go, oh, yeah, I get it now. When I was baptized in the Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues, when it happened to me at 10 years old, I never heard of it, didn't really know about it. It just happened in church one day. And then when it happened, I went, cool. And then when I found out it was in the Scripture, I went, oh, really cool. Yeah. And then when my unsaved friend says, well, what do you mean? Well, can I hear you do it? I said, yes. Took him in my dad's garage, because at 10 years old, after I was saved, I was holding a little Bible study for the neighborhood kids, my friends, in my backyard. Invite them, said, we're going to have a Bible study. We played baseball and did all kinds of things. We had a Bible study. Well, I was teaching it. But no manual, no book, just kind of the Bible. And what do you know at 10 years old? Whatever the Spirit of God reveals to me to understand the Scripture. I just wanted them to be saved. And then we got in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I told them about it. Yeah. The simplicity of a child who believes. How many of you as an adult would say, well, I'm going to start a Bible study, and we're going to get about baptism of the Holy Spirit with a bunch of people who don't know what it is? You'd be picking a different book of study, wouldn't you? Simplicity of a kid. One kid asked me, his name was Richie Sheppy. I think I told you this. Richie Sheppy from Kenosha. He said, can I hear you? Well, I was a little embarrassed. I mean, I was still, you know, human, still a kid. I said, yeah. I mean, everybody else waited outside in the yard, and I took him in the garage. And I climbed up on my dad's Yamaha 360 Enduro. I remember this. I was sitting there on my dad's motorcycle, and I spoke a few words in tongues, a few more, and he just went, oh. I said, okay. He said, yeah, that's cool, and we went back outside. Here's the great part of the story. Richie didn't get saved, and Richie didn't speak in tongues. But years later, after being in Bible college, no, in fact, I think it was well after Bible college, I was home on a visit or a break after being in the ministry. Went home and got this message that Richie Sheppy called. Richie Sheppy? I haven't been in touch with that guy since, you know, way back when. Come to find out, Richie Sheppy is saved and involved in a ministry at a church. The Spirit works beyond us. But one of my greatest memories of Richie Sheppy is we're in my garage, my dad's garage. I'm speaking in tongues sitting on a Yamaha, and Richie's standing there listening to me. All I know is later, Richie got saved. Somewhere, somehow, some message, I don't know. I just know some seeds were thrown out into his life early. That is a supernatural work. And God can work beyond what we can see. You cannot pick and choose what you want to believe and experience out of here. This is His Word. It is the full gospel. The full gospel. The full gospel. All of it is for our reproof, our correction. And get this, God is so personal, we can experience Him. That's what He wants. If it is empty of relationship with Him and we're only going by the code, we're missing it. And you're going to get to the end and go, hey, wait a minute, I did all that. And He's going to say, I never knew you. Never knew you. No relationship. No fellowship. I didn't know your mind. Because I didn't fellowship with the Spirit. I didn't believe in the baptism. It was too weird for me. Listen, my human part, I'll be the first to admit, that's weird. But when you experience Him and know Him and it happens, you go, I get it. So why don't you experience God and have the greater reality and not be just confined to the parameters of this life, but fellowship and know Him and begin to see ministry and things happen in your life, in your home, things that you thought were impossible, that you are praying in the Spirit and you don't even know what you're praying, but you are praying, you know this, you're praying the will of God. And that will of God might be for somebody else around the world. It might be for, you might be just praising Him and His presence might come into the room. It might be for somebody you know. It might be for your own life. It might be for some broken relationship. It might be something that in the natural you gave up hope on. But when you pray in the Spirit, there's a hope that lives because God still has a plan beyond what you and I can sense in our natural soul. So when you think about those things and you understand the principle and the power that God chose in this wonderful promise of the Holy Spirit, I'd say sign me up. Here's the other part. Some who are baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you do that, but you've stalled in your spiritual walk. The life of the Spirit is not in you. Oh, you speak in tongues. And you may know God's mind on some things, but Paul says you can speak in tongues of men and angels, but if you don't have love and you don't have the fruit of the Spirit along with the promise of the Spirit, he says you are just noise. And you can go to church all you want. Now I'm paraphrasing, but you can go to church all you want. You can sing the songs. You can even have a tear. But if you have no relationship with Him, you are not continuing to grow in the Spirit and submit yourself to the Spirit. If you're not continuing to go through character change, he says it's all noise. It's not just some method and then, well, I got it, so I'm done. When you, what you call got it, lets you know it's just the beginning. This is a Pentecostal church. Not by label alone, but we had to be a Pentecostal, full gospel, full Spirit church because that is what the Scripture says. And some of us need a spiritual revival. We are saved, but we need a spiritual revival in us. The kind that Jeffrey talked about. Well, I was saved, but you know, I wasn't really passionate about Christ and didn't have a terrible impact on my daily living and all. Hey, listen, I appreciated his testimony this morning because it was real and he was honest in front of his family and his church family and his friends. He said, this is where I was at. And he said, whoa, then God came. And whoa, but he was willing to go. He was willing to listen. He was willing to take a step and put himself in a place where spiritual renewal, revival, furthering, increasing faith could happen. And you know what? He's got to continue to be in that place. And he will have to search out those places again in his life, just like you and I. Listen, don't kid yourself. Just because I have REV before my name doesn't guarantee that I have spiritual life. I still have to find it, seek him out, and walk with him. I still need to make sure that I have spirit life and spirit revival happening in me. I still got to pray in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I still got to pray in tongues. Listen, with my human understanding, effective prayers would not go on all that much for you. But I pray in the Spirit for you. I pray with natural understanding, but I pray in the Spirit a lot. I do it walking down hallways. I'll just tell you. I do walk down hallways. I do it in the privacy of my bedroom, my home. I do it in the vehicle. I have done it. I have done it in some of your presence when you and I have been together at coffee or lunch or breakfast or golf or fishing or where. I've done it. You've not heard me. You've not known it because I'm like this across the table from you. Some of you wonder why I stand over the golf ball so long. Sometimes it's me, but in all honesty, I will tell you this. There are times where I'm caught up in something. You wouldn't know it by looking at me. You just think I got vapor lock. I'm just letting you into part of my life, and I got a long ways to go still. But the breath and the move of his Spirit and the life of his Spirit and praying in the Spirit is so vital. It's part of what he said is for us. It's the Father's promise for you. It's one of the promises.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.